Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
This story comes to us from the Washington Times. Attorney General Sessions orders examination of Bundy case after mistrial over prosecution bungling. Government failed to turn over evidence.
Yet they failed to turn over about 3,300 pages of evidence. Now, the prosecution would say, we turned it over eventually. They were supposed to have had all of the what's called discovery sent to the defense by October 1st. Some of this stuff didn't come in until like early December. And then the prosecution was like, just go ahead and go ahead with the trial because they have the stuff now.
Right. And that's not how it's supposed to work. That's not how it's right. Legally supposed to work. And it's interesting that a lot of alternative media, a lot of things that you guys probably never hear about, but I'm probably a little bit more plugged into that, you know, sort of militia oath keeper 3% or side. Yep. There's been a ton of alternative media out there that's been talking about how bad this case has been prosecuted. And they've brought it up time and time again. They're not allowed to present. At one time, Judge Navarro said in court, you are not allowed to bring the law into my court. Nevada rancher Cliven Bundy, his sons Eamon and Ryan Bundy, and Ryan Payne of Montana have been charged with 15 felony counts stemming from the 2014 armed standoff with the Bureau of Land Management at the Bundy Ranch near Bunkerville. The examination represents the first direct public intervention by the Attorney General in the Nevada case, which began last year under then Attorney General Loretta Lynch. Acting U.S. Attorney Stephen W. Meyer, who oversees the prosecution, said he welcomed the input from D.C. Quote, we respect the ruling of the court and take very seriously our discovery obligations, Mr. Meyer said in a statement. The office welcomes the assistance of the Attorney General as we continue to evaluate the case in light of the court's rulings, unquote. No deadline was given for the Attorney General's examination, but Judge Navarro set a January 8th hearing on defense motions to dismiss the case. The next trial is tentatively scheduled to begin February 26th. Now, it's interesting. A lot of people say, oh, it's a mistrial. It's all over.
No. That's not what happened. It's just like if there's a hung jury, it doesn't just end.
Right.
If there's a hung jury or a mistrial, it's up to the prosecutor to decide whether or not they want to continue bringing the charges and have another trial. Yesterday, the judge basically let the prosecution have it, saying you basically screwed up in every way possible. Do better next time.
Well, yeah, and that in itself is real news to the people that have been following this case closely. Not one person I've ever talked to who's been watching this case has had one good thing to say about Judge Navarro, the federal judge in Nevada.
Yeah.
She has been basically the enemy in this. They were like, every single thing she does seems to just be working for the prosecution.
Well, they are paid by the same people.
Understand. But,
you know what I don't get, though, is in situations like this where you have somebody that's in like a position like this judge is in and they're doing stuff that, you know, a bunch of people don't like, where's the movement to get these people removed? There's never any organized effort to actually take down people in government that do this kind of stuff.
So let's talk about federal judges and how they get their seat and how they can be removed.
Yeah. They can be removed via impeachment or resignation. She basically laid into the prosecution saying, hey, guys, even though we're on the same team, you really screwed up here and violated like every rule that we had about when you're supposed to give the defense documents. There's no way that they can have a fair trial. Declared the mistrial. But that doesn't mean it's over. There's a January 8th hearing on motions from the defense to dismiss the case, and a new trial is tentatively scheduled to begin February 26th. And again, this is dependent upon the outcome of either that January 8th hearing or the prosecution deciding whether or not to continue with the charges.
That's correct. So we'll see where this goes. I hope the government has the sense to just let this one rest, because, you know, I've heard from so many different people that were out there, and there's been so much in the media, so many people have testified. The government came there grossly overpowered for what the situation was.
Right. And again, the FBI was and the BLM were basically provoking a response.
What the prosecution did, what the federal government did, was basically broke down the people that they wanted to prosecute. And they didn't list everybody who went out there.
Right.
They broke them down into basically the ringleaders, in their words, not mine.
Right. So the Washington Times says there are three tiers. So basically, right. The ringleaders.
Yes.
All right. That's tier one.
Yep. And then you have, call it middle management, for lack of a, I can't remember the term that they used. Those were the people that would be like the equivalent of your sergeants and NCOs. You know, they're directing. And then you sort of have the boots on the ground.
So they're the ones that have the connections to Cliven, right, and Ammon.
Yeah.
And they're sort of, you know, giving directions,
sure,
if you will.
It was kind of set up. It was sort of set up, and unsurprisingly, like sort of a military hierarchy. Though it certainly wasn't in the sense that Cliven was calling the shots and deploying the troops. That was mostly done. I think most tactical decisions were made at that middle level, or with a couple guys that were working closely with the Bundys.
Right.
So, you know, it's kind of interesting. A gentleman from New Hampshire, where we're broadcasting from, Jerry DeLamas, was one of the first people who took off in his truck with a couple friends of his to go out there and to see what they could do for him.
I'm curious, and, you know, this is something where we're basically going to have to just pure speculation, because nobody really knows. How will this mistrial affect any of the other trials, or will it affect any of the other trials? Will the prosecution know, hey, we've really got to get our S in order and make sure that they get all of the documents that we have before the deadline, otherwise the judge is going to throw it out?
Yeah.
How many of the other 15 defendants are going to have trials in front of Judge Navarro?
I don't know. I know that Jerry DeLamas was tried by Judge Navarro. That's who. And he ended up taking a plea deal. And he's been very vocal that the prosecution came to him, and they were very clear. They said, if you do not want us to absolutely ruin the lives of your friends and family, and for us to keep arresting on down the chain those guys that came out here with you in that truck, if you don't want them in federal prison, then you're going to have to take the fall. Somebody's going to jail.
Washington Post reports the three pro-independence parties in Catalonia won a majority of seats in parliament, setting the stage for another showdown with the Spanish central government in Madrid, with a record-breaking turnout of more than 80%. Catalans dealt Spain's Prime Minister Mariano Rajoy a major setback as the secessionist leaders stood poised to return to power in Barcelona, among them former regional president Carles Puigdemont, now in exile in Brussels. And I don't know why they say former regional president. He's still the president of Catalonia. Just because he's fled to Brussels to avoid being arrested does not mean that he's not still the president of Catalonia.
No,
but I digress.
Details.
Voters packed polling stations to pick a new legislature and to answer again an old and bitterly divisive question. Did they want to remain a part of Spain or seek independence? With 99% of the ballots counted, the three pro-independence parties took 48% of the vote, but 70 seats in the regional parliament, 70 seats of the 135 seats in the parliament. The unionist and other parties took 65 seats. The independistas, that's a strange term there. I don't know if the Washington Post is just trying to
just make up
Latinize
words. If you want to Latinize a word, you lad, add "ista" to the end of it.
This vote, however, record high 81%. Thursday's election comes less than 2 months after 2 million Catalans chose to secede from Spain and their leaders unilaterally declared independence, promoting the Spanish prime minister to dissolve the rebellious regional legislature and call early elections. Rajoy's publicly stated hope was for a legal and orderly vote in which the region's secessionists would be swept aside. He failed. His own popular party also lost 7 seats in the election. Miguel Iceta, the Catalan socialist candidate, celebrated the huge turnout, saying, "The greater the participation, the more the joy for all Democrats." At one polling place in an upscale neighborhood in Barcelona, voters on both sides of the independence issue confessed they felt more fatigue than excitement. Many said they were disturbed by the deep rift that had emerged in Catalan society. If you wind up making all decisions the way decisions are made in quote-unquote democracies, then people would only ever eat vanilla or chocolate ice cream. People would only ever eat pepperoni pizza. People would only ever eat hamburgers. You might occasionally be able to get a slice of cheese on it.
Well, it depends on how you're defining what is an allowed ice cream flavor. Or do you say that ice cream in general is okay?
Well, the way we choose politicians, it's
yeah,
not just, here's some politicians. Do you like politicians? No. Do you want
A or
red
B.
or blue?
Okay, so you're referring to the binary
or
choice that we
do
have.
Do you want yellow?
Yes.
Like, occasionally you get, you know, a yellow or a green option.
Right. But, yeah, okay, so binary choice, yeah. And that's what this would be. It would be, do we stay
well,
or
well, not necessarily
do we go?
Binary choice, but, you know, just a first past the post of whatever the plurality wants.
I understand. I was talking about this particular yep. case and talking about secession. It is
right.
Do we stay or do we go?
Right. That's
remember
the choice.
That song by The Clash.
That's
should
exactly
I stay or
what
should I go?
I was actually just starting to Google the lyrics to that, and I was just going to kind of read them off. Because if I go, there will be trouble.
And if
I stay,
it
will
be
double. Right?
Right, because then you've got the Catalan government plus the Spanish government. I say less governments are better. What level of support is
okay.
needed for secession?
Yeah. Let's say that, you know, the vote comes down and it's 60-40. It's
well,
a
New Hampshire
okay,
doesn't
so
even
super
have...
majority.
It's sort of, yeah, it's something like that, but we say we're going to secede. Now, history tells us, in the United States at least, when the South attempted to secede from the Union, Abraham Lincoln wasn't having any of that.
I think supermajority is a good thing.
Would, even though what if the federal government declared that that was an illegal move? It was against
the law.
Well,
if you got the supermajority, then you know what? They're going to, what's going to end up happening is, if the supermajority of the state.
Right.
Right? A lot of people in New Hampshire, they got friends in other states and stuff like that. It's just, it's going to be one of those things where you band together and you stick together to defend what you believe is right. And you know what? That sometimes that's going to happen where you're going to have, you know, people coming in. Look at the Bundy Ranch thing that we were talking about earlier. Like, I mean, they banded together. This is still an ongoing thing for them. And there's
right.
a lot of people still following that. We're still reporting on it. So it's still very much relevant. But nonetheless, like, you're going to have to fight for things that you feel is important. That's just how life is.
I'm addressing Heather.
Ah, Heather, let's hear it.
Wow. You know, I love your loyalty and everything. But it occurs to me that our central government is probably one of the most destructive entities on the globe. And I just think the ROI, the return on investment that we're getting from our thieved, you know, funding, our stolen funding is actually just beyond ridiculousness, you know, with all the money they're borrowing and all the debt they're running up. You know, the death they deal across the globe, the people they're killing in America, the things that they they use their threat of force to cause, to keep people from doing some of the things that they want to do, like, mm-hmm. Smoke pot or, mm-hmm. even shoot up heroin.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy, so I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
Would you agree that some people, if I don't have an opinion on whatever, let me see what my party believes on that?
People do vote party lines because they really put their trust in party lines.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, and I don't fault anybody for doing that.
Really?
Yeah.
Because so instead of researching it themselves and coming to their own conclusion, they should just listen to somebody else.
You know what? Some people, they've got families, they've got jobs, they've got this. If they've formed enough of opinion in their own mind to believe, to trust in something that, they believe in, let them do it. If they make a mistake, that's their mistake to own, just like I've owned mine.
Please.
Go ahead, Bad Slave.
The idea that we have to defer. I mean, right now,
defer what?
We'll defer our wisdom, for the party. Defer our wisdom for, some idiot, Trump or Clinton or Obama.
Pick your idiot.
These people are
people.
The people that run the government
are people, no different than you, myself, Chris, Daryl. They're people.
I'm sorry. They are very different. The thing that I think makes them different is that I think that most of them have had some failure or in their early life that was never dealt with. I really think that these folk are involved in, and they're selected. They're selected by the rest of the people, because the rest of the people are foolish. I mean, basically, they're unaware and foolish, and as a result, we end up with the cabal, particularly the higher up level. The further away from, the local
then wouldn't that actually make them smart then for capitalizing on foolish people?
Oh, I don't disagree with that. No, I think they are very clever. Many of them are very clever.
One can be smart and a sociopath at the same time.
I don't think they're all sociopaths.
They might not even necessarily be sociopaths, but once people wind up in positions of power, they wind up basically separating themselves from everybody else. And there have been tons of different experiments that show this.
Studies.
At the Stanford prison experiment, to where people were randomly selected to be prisoner or prison guard.
Could you agree that people that seek positions of power in our government may also possess the same?
Yeah, exactly. It's going to attract some, but they're not going to fare well long. You know what I mean? The people that burn, the sociopaths tend to burn a lot of bridges.
Can we start tossing out some names? I mean, really, we've had some insane people. I mean, you can look at some that are in, throw out somebody who's been in Congress for 40 years, refuses to leave.
Harry Reid, John McCain.
Right.
Richard Shelby, Jeff Sessions.
No, we're saying that they have displayed what I would consider.
Just because you don't like some of the things they vote on support,
it's
doesn't make them a
way
sociopath.
People act and the things.
Makes them a sociopath?
When they will try to shout down and, anybody who doesn't agree with me is absolutely wrong.
Isn't that what you guys are all doing right now?
And I will take actions to get rid of them, Instead of saying agree to disagree, that I will be underhanded.
They're not exterminating people like Hitler.
When you collectivize everybody who speaks up, who tries to give you some ideas about not maybe collectivizing, maybe you shouldn't collectivize all of us. I'm just an individual too, that I love this show. I've listened to this show for years. It's changed my ideas, my opinions on so much until you got on the air. And I really am sorry, but it's my only complaint about this show. And look, I've been on this, I've been listening for years, and you talk about things. I don't want to publicly blast you, but I don't know any other way to say this.
I welcome criticism. I love it. Help me shape who I am as a person.
I don't think you've hurt enough in this life, and I don't want you to either.
Oh, are you kidding?
To even understand or comprehend what you're talking about.
What do you mean what I've been talking about? I don't hurt enough in this life?
Checks and balances. I've heard you say that on the show numerous times.
There are flaws in our system, okay?
It's your system. I don't want any part of it.
All right.
This same system put me in a wheelchair for quite a while. This same system, messed my body up and my life.
You know that orange push-up, orange sherbet, baby aspirin flavor?
Yep.
Yeah, if you've ever tried to mix drinks of whatever sort and you tried to mix cream with orange juice, it curdles, right? Yeah, I just discovered accidentally. I didn't think to try this intentionally, but sour cream instead of actually fresh cream with orange juice, it didn't seem to curdle, and it came out tasting just like orange sherbet. So anyway, fun with science.
All right. Interesting.
Yeah.
So go ahead with your thoughts.
Yeah, on your topic is the reason I'm calling. It's because what you're talking about, and Heather, understand where you're coming from. But I think there's some things that you're missing, which you're looking from your own viewpoint and the viewpoints of other people that are parallel to you or in your realm. But there are people that are in power that are outside your realm who you hardly ever have contact with, that have way more power over the entire ball game than any of the rest of us, no matter whether we get elected or not. And they're pulling some strings and doing some puppeteering that we're either aware of or not aware of, and it has great control. This government, I mean, for instance, you all know what happened to me. My children were disappeared 10 years ago, and I've never seen them again. And if anybody can top that one, besides murdering a child, I don't know what it would be. Had Obama not given the Wall Street bankers the billions and billions and billions of dollars that he did, he could possibly, in my opinion, have risked assassination. What did Kennedy do that got him killed? Obviously, our government was involved in that in some way. It was not simply, it was not organized crime alone. They were probably working in...
Yeah, and government, and the government group? I don't want to say church group, but congressman or senator Church, who investigated the assassinations, even came back and said there was a very high likelihood that this was a conspiracy. So that's not it's not like a caller spouting off conspiracy theories. This is something our government later researched and said, yeah, it probably was, and it was probably more than one shooter.
People that listen to the show know that we're big fans of cryptocurrencies. And there's a tea company. Yeah. Like iced tea, sweet tea. They apparently are big fans of cryptocurrencies as well. The story coming to us from the Washington Post. They say when Wall Street types are optimistic about something, like a business or a trend, they're often said to be long on it, meaning they're inclined to invest in hopes of a profit. These days, a lot of folks in the financial sector are excited about Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies and the underlying technology, the blockchain, because of its incredible popularity and potential to change the way economic transactions work. But one company is taking it really, really literally. Beverage company Long Island Iced Tea announced on Thursday it's renaming itself Long Blockchain in recognition of the fact that pretty much everyone is trying to get into the blockchain technology despite barely knowing anything about it.
I think it's so funny when people think Bitcoin can't be regulated.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's super funny. I think it's actually a lot harder to regulate a paper dollar because you can't actually physically track where it goes. But when it comes to digitalizing cryptocurrencies and like turning that same dollar into a little like computer node that gets sent from computer to computer, you're like creating like a digital trail.
You
so it's actually
be.
A lot easier to track cryptocurrencies than it is paper dollars.
Some. It depends on your cryptocurrency.
There are some cryptocurrencies that allow for what are called shielded transactions, meaning that only the sender and the receiver have any knowledge that the thing wound up going and how much.
There's zero knowledge stuff that's coming out and ZK sparks and all kinds of things.
But with dollar, and I don't know if I can mention where you, specific, but you know, like, if there was some kind of thing to where federal government said, all right, we're getting rid of $1 bills. Now, there could be a requirement that every time a $1 bill goes to a bank, the bank teller would then have to put the $1 bill over into a special thing.
Get shredded.
Every time that a dollar bill goes to a Walmart cashier or a cashier somewhere.
Paper and digital is not the same.
It was announced on the Native American Calling News that some native tribe, I did not hear quite exactly, but they're going to start a new bus line on the reservation.
Which reservation? Which tribe? There are 326 of them across the United States.
Hold on. How do you know exactly how many? Never mind. At some point, a story about Indian tribes.
So I was watching a YouTube video earlier today titled, Is the United States a Country?
I've seen that shared around. Okay. Yeah, you posted it. Okay.
I shared it. Yep. And one of the things that they mentioned was, you know, in the, what is it, the Montevideo Declaration that basically lays out, here are the criteria for what a country is.
Right.
One of them is that there is one government over the geographic area and the United States. There's the 50 states that are, you know, pseudo sovereign to some degree. There are the 326 native tribes. Then there are all of the territories that have other levels of whatever. And then they said really the only thing that the federal government has actual control of in the United States is Washington, D.C. and the territories.
Really? You believe that?
I don't believe that. I said that's what
that's
the video
what
said.
Okay.
Because, you know, certain things can be preempted at a state level. So you've got Colorado that's, you know, sort of nullified.
Okay, okay. Rabbit hole, rabbit hole. All right.
Yes. Go ahead, Sarah. So which of the 326 Native American tribes is putting in a new bus service?
Well, you know something? I missed that part of it.
A lot of reservations do have bus service, but there was a story out of Oregon, Coos Bay, local bus service coming based on a federal grant obtained by the Coquille Indian Tribe and Coos County Area Transit. So they talk about, you know, improving bus service to parts of the reservation and yada, yada, yada. So that may have been the story.
So, Sarah, I've got a question for you. And I hate that I wasn't on a couple nights ago when this actually happened, because I'm fairly certain you called in that night. What are your thoughts on that Amtrak derailment? I know you're a big fan of buses and trains.
Public transportation.
And all forms of public transportation. And there was that Amtrak train that derailed. What are your thoughts on that? Does that make you think twice about government-run trains?
That has nothing to do with the government. Come on.
Amtrak is a government-run service.
That was the engineer's faulty decision. Like, don't use that to politicize it. Come on now.
Ooh. Shall I politicize it? Go ahead.
Like, people died. Come on. That's sick.
The money that all has been going into war could be better funded in the Amtrak service.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.